Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Teron Davenport from ESPN join us to begin the 8 o'clock hour, get into the latest with the Tennessee Titans with him. Terry Crisp at 8:30, Nashville Predators TV analyst. We'll get into the Predators looking ahead to this weekend against the Tampa Bay Lightning with him. So looking forward to that conversation with Crispy. And then Mike Wilson at 9 o'clock from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Tennessee taking on Florida later this afternoon in the SEC tournament. So lots still to come here today on the show. And call your shot Friday later this hour at 7:45. So we'll take your called shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A little birdie has told me that Ryan Porth has approximately 12 today on the called shot front. So we'll see how that goes for Ryan Porth.
12?
I mean, I guess I can just sit out this week. I haven't been doing that well anyway.
12? I don't know if it's exactly 12, but Porth's got a lot today, apparently. So
it's like every trade destination for every Predators player is going to be traded?
Maybe so.
It's probably about half that.
So looking forward to that coming up at 7:45.
Okay. I feel better.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Joe, right now talking about the Tennessee Titans, and it's interesting to evaluate where this team is right now. We know about the cuts that have been made with Adoree Jackson and Kenny Vaccaro. Or excuse me, not Adoree Jackson. That was a Freudian slip there. Malcolm Butler, Kenny Vaccaro.
I cut
Adoree Jackson, not John Robinson. Sorry. Apologies out there. Malcolm Butler, Kenny Vaccaro, Adam Humphries no longer here. As you sit here and evaluate where the Titans are with the cuts that they've made and the salary cap position that they're in, obviously still with some free agent decisions to make as well, what would we consider to be a successful offseason for John Robinson at this point? We've talked about this for months, that John Robinson has got to have a much better offseason than he did a year ago. Everyone would agree with that. But now that we know a little bit of what the picture looks like, what does success look like for John Robinson? As you try to fill out the roster here, what would you consider to be successful as the Titans move forward here?
Okay, well, let me answer that question with a question.
Okay.
Right before the season started last year, what did we think of John Robinson's offseason?
Thought it was okay.
Thought it was pretty good. Got that right tackle.
Yeah.
Got a couple pass rushers. Got another corner.
I don't know that any of us were ever very high on Vic Beasley.
No, that was...
I don't know if we expected the flop to the degree that it flopped, but we did not expect that to work out well.
Right. Like, to me, actually, what I thought was, oh, now you got the guy, Clowney, and it'll be Clowney and Landry, and with Beasley, situationally, maybe you can, you know, get some pass. Yeah. I mean, he had 8 sacks a year before, so it's not like you're coming from zero, but yeah, he was the most questionable move.
But overall, to your point,
I thought it was pretty good.
Right, like we didn't think it was going to be this just abject disaster that it turned out being.
So that's the thing. We can say whatever we want about this when he's done. But how would we view a successful offseason? 12-4 in the AFC South next year.
12-5.
Oh God, thank you. 12-5.
Just thought I'd throw
sounds
that
like
in
a freaking baseball record in April. Get out of here, NFL. 12-5.
Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Thank you.
Just got to get you used to it. I mean, I hear you.
A great 11-6 team. So stupid.
I hear you. I mean, that certainly. I mean, we've got to see the finished product on the field. But right now, I mean, it's looking likely that maybe Corey Davis isn't here, and maybe Jonnu Smith isn't here, and Jayon Brown isn't here. So it is interesting to try to look ahead and forecast what the rest of this offseason could look like for John Robinson. Do you go sign a big-name pass rusher? What do you do to fill those holes potentially left behind by Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith? Like, there's a lot of work to do if you're the Titans, and there's not much room to do it. Now, I think you can find some bargain basement deals this year, like we've talked about, with some free agents that are out there. But I think the picture has become a little different as time has moved on. Like, I've always just assumed, and we talked about this the other day with Jonnu Smith, I've always assumed that they'll sign at least one of the three free agents that are out there, the big names of Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, Jayon Brown. I don't feel that way anymore. Like I just look around right now, and the fact that it's gotten to this point makes me feel like there's a pretty good chance the Titans lose all three of them. And that affects the way I view this offseason. I mean, and part of that, especially with the offense, you've got such a good thing going right now. Those are two pretty important players that may not be here next year at this point that John Robinson's going to have to find a way to address, in addition to the atrocious defense that we saw a year ago, that right now is worse with the subtractions of Butler and Kenny Vaccaro.
Yeah, I mean, my definition of a successful offseason, which, again, we can say whatever we want, and the team's play will dictate the answer, but it would be signing one of those two offensive guys, keeping one of them, okay? It would be finding the money to sign a pass rusher, you know, like a relatively high price, not necessarily top tier, but an Aquara, a Hendrickson, somebody like that, who is a pursued, you know, you got to pick the right one. But I mean, I think that you need to do more than just the cut guys for real cheap. But then also on that front, another corner,
yeah,
another receiver or two. And then in the draft that you fill out all your, you know, the draft addresses everything. More edge up front defensively, another receiver, another corner. I mean, how are we going to know if they made the right choices? We won't. I thought Clowney was great. Great move. So,
I mean, you could bring in a guy like Carl Lawson and think that you've done a great job, and he comes in next year and plays 13 games for you and has two sacks. Like, we don't know how it's going to play out. So, to your point, I mean, a lot of this is just wait and see with the Titans offseason. I think we've all just kind of guessed that the offseason can't be as bad as it was a year ago. I don't think it can, but maybe it is. I don't know. We'll find out moving forward here with John Robinson.
It can't be that bad.
I don't know, man.
Can't be that bad.
Well, if you have a offseason like last offseason, and that's what you get out of your offseason, you're changing. Yeah, yeah, you're changing the franchise for the worse. It's going to show up. And, yeah, all of a sudden your spot is not all that stable either.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, you know who did think it was a horrible offseason last year? Joe's best friend, Jared Stillman.
No, he did not. He did not say it was a horrible offseason. I give Stillman credit for being totally against the Clowney signing, talking about the cap rollover, and he and Floyd both. Now, you know, if Jared has a good opinion and Floyd had that opinion, I tend to think that Jared's just, you know, taking Floyd's opinion.
Wow.
Making his fine. I'll give Jared credit. All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jared. I give you credit. But he didn't say it was a terrible offseason. No one looked at that draft and said, this is going to be zero.
Right.
How would we know? I didn't see Stillman. I guess I can go back and search his tweets. I didn't see him screaming about all the draft picks, how they were terrible. I do remember him saying that about Derrick Henry. Just saying.
In the draft. Now he loves him. We'll talk about Derrick Henry
big dog
more
eat.
In a minute.
Let the big dog eat.
Let the big dog eat.
Yes.
So, who texted that?
No name.
I thought maybe that was Heidi. likes to pit Jared and me against each other. No, I mean, look, the Clowney, I'll give anybody credit who criticized the Clowney move because most people didn't. I sure didn't. I don't know. I don't know who else did around here, honestly. So, I give Jared that. No problem.
Yeah.
I have no problem doing that.
Unless it was Floyd's opinion.
Is it possible that it was Brady's opinion?
Well, it could be.
Jedi mind tricked Jared into believing it?
Could be. I mean, he was reportedly walking around NBA, so maybe he got within, you know, breathing distance of Jared last year at some point. Who knows?
I mean, I want to give Jared credit, but then he says something like, Brady would have made Kevin Byard better. Like, he actually said that out loud. Hey, I still love you, Jared.
Brady and makes people better.
I want Jared in on that 40-yard dash with D-Mac and Chase.
That'd be awesome. I'm rooting heavily for that. We've brought up the draft, and we've talked about this being the most important draft for John Robinson in his tenure. And I think that's true. I think it is the most important draft, and we'll have to wait and see, you know, where they decide to go, especially early in the draft. To me, like, I think it's unrealistic to expect him to hit on every pick, but you've got to hit on the early picks. in my opinion. Like, you've got to come in and you're a first rounder, you're a second rounder, you're a third rounder. They've got to come in and be able to contribute immediately. Like, I think that's more important in this year than it's been before for the Titans. And hopefully, like, you can find some good players in the fifth and sixth round, like he's been able to do. And that's great. But if you don't hit on a sixth rounder, I've got much less of a problem with that if you don't hit on a first rounder again. Like, you've got to hit whoever your first round draft pick is this year. They've got to be the right pick. Like, you've got to hit on the draft this year.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, you're gonna have throwaway seventh rounders. I mean, look, they just got a comp pick, compensatory pick, so they have four in the top 100. And those picks in particular, I mean, those four people,
yeah.
And you never know, they could move up and lose one, they could move down and gain one. But right now, as it stands, four picks, the top 100, four guys who need to be important for this team next year.
Here's the thing, though. With the late round picks, I understand that there are more flyers than anything. I do not want to see some schmuck quarterback picked in the sixth or seventh round.
Like Tom Brady? Sixth rounder.
Yeah.
And he's a mythical sea creature.
That's right.
But is that because
like Luke
of
Falk
your...
and Cole McDonald, like complete wastes of picks.
Is that because of your confidence in Logan Woodside, or is that because of they have so many other needs?
They have so many other needs.
I tend to agree.
So you're not confident in Logan Woodside?
Who is confident in Logan Woodside outside
confident.
Of himself?
He's improved a lot.
How
great
do you know?
Pass last
he
year.
He has.
That pass last
I watch
year,
him
he
in
had
practice.
On the fake punt
He's better
on
in
the
practice.
Money.
Yeah. No, he is better in practice. I swear.
There you go. I'm with you. They don't need to be picking any quarterbacks in the fifth round this year.
Or kickers. By the way, well, maybe a kicker. Did you guys see the Cairo Santos deal?
Yes, I did.
Monster deal with the Bears.
Was it $17 million over the next 5 years?
Has he missed a field goal since he went 0-for-4 here against the Bills?
I don't think so.
And he got cut? A day after Vrabel's like, oh, we have total confidence in
yeah.
Cairo. And then he's gone. And then he doesn't ever miss a kick the rest of his career. And he's like one of the highest paid kickers in the league now.
You would have told me that guy last year was getting ready to sign a 5-year deal in the NFL. I'd have said you're crazy.
What was the number? 5-year monster deal.
I think it's $17 million total.
Okay. Is that all? I thought it was more than that. Okay.
That's pretty good for Cairo Santos.
$16 million.
$16 million. Okay. There you go.
Why did I think it was like 520 something? Anyway, that's still, yes, a very big deal.
Actually, it's a $16 million deal with a max value of 17.5.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, so you'll get the max value.
So if he does an extra point, he gets up to 17.5.
Yeah. I mean, he's never going to miss another kick, so he'll get it.
That's another thing you got to figure out if you're John Robinson. You're bringing back Gostkowski? You going Tucker McCann? You drafting somebody in like the seventh round? What are you doing?
You have to go Gostkowski, right?
You think so. Yeah. What's he going to cost?
Two? Can you get him for two?
I'd hope so.
I mean, two and a half. I mean, I'd do
it. Do you have to go Gostkowski, though?
Well,
the options out there aren't great.
If you don't do it, it's the most sure thing there is.
Especially now with Cairo Santos off the board.
Sam Sloman, come on. Titans legend, Sam Sloman, ring him back.
You know, if you can try to trade for Ryan Succop. Maybe you can trade for Ryan Succop and Shaq Barrett.
Maybe so.
Logan Woodside and TBD.
Be a heck of a combo. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans and talk about Derrick Henry next season as well. It's not gone well for running backs who have run for 2,000 yards in the next season. What should expectations be for King Henry? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer.
And who doesn't love free beer like our good friend Ryan Porth, who vocalizes it on a daily basis? Tune in all day today for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you today at 9:45.
Nothing picks me up like a beer can.
Nothing picks Ryan Porth up or Joe Rexroad like a beer can.
Luke Combs.
Looking forward to the he said, right? Luke Combs, baby. Looking forward to the weekly Luke Combs jam session that Joe Rexroad participates in.
By this brings me to, have you been reading David Ubbin's Josh Heupel pieces? Have you been keeping up on that? Did you read the part that made me think that maybe I'm a Josh Heupel guy now?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think so.
When he's talking about music on the field, because Pruitt didn't allow music on the field.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
One of many things.
I don't feel like we're not like ripping Pruitt in his absence enough these days. We'll have to get to more of that.
Have fun in New York, Jeremy.
Yeah, they had he and Dooley are official.
Yeah, buddy.
Officially together with the Giants. But not only are they having music, which everybody should. I mean,
sure.
Everybody does that. But he's not allowing country music. Yeah, Josh Heupel. I love you, Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
I don't love you, but I like you more now.
I mean, I guess that makes sense with college students. I'm not sure country is number one on the college student list. But
well, he said in there, he's like, you know, some of the team was happy, some wasn't.
Well, but like if you're having music, are you trying to, you know, have a nice flow to you, getting hyped up at practice? And I'm not sure country music is the best genre for that.
I talked to John Fulkerson over the summer for a story, and he said that like he listens to rap when he works out, but then he switches to country when he's kind of cooling down.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe after practice.
You could play, country at the end or whatever, but I mean, it sounds like they're not going to play any. I like the boldness, Josh Heupel. I think there's a chance here. I think they might win the East this year.
It's just interesting. You're the head coach of Tennessee and going to outlaw country music. Off the run. Nothing picks me up like a beer can. I mean, how could you not want that at practice?
Like, if you listen to that, like, imagine if you listen to that, like, as you're working out and practicing and stuff, how much worse would you end up being over the course of a season?
You mean worse than
like
last year?
Well,
when they didn't listen to anything.
Well, maybe that was a problem too.
Maybe so.
I mean, we just listened our one season. Like for me, working out music was Metallica. You know, that gets you going.
Yeah,
some high intensity music. I mean, country music. How is that? Forget just disliking country music. How is that involved in any way in anything where you're trying to like be pumped up and have energy?
Depends on who it is. Luke Combs, a little bit more energy in the songs. You go old school Alan Jackson, maybe not as much. Or there's a song with Brad Paisley and Alison Krauss that'll put you down. What's that one called? Whiskey Lullaby?
Yes. Yeah,
you don't want to be doing that one.
I mean, none of it is. I mean, like, okay, so I love Skynyrd and the Allman Brothers,
sure.
Right? But like, not in that. In that context, not that time, not in that forum.
Not even after practice.
Like sitting
as
on a
practice is wrapping
sitting
up.
On a porch drinking a beer, great. But yeah, I mean, I think Heupel's right on here.
Well, one of maybe
championships
many
on the way.
Decisions from Josh Heupel with the Tennessee football program. Joe, some breaking news in the NFL. We'll get to some Titans talk here in just a second. But this is pretty surprising. The Patriots apparently re-signing Cam Newton to bring him back into the fold. On a one-year deal with the New England Patriots. I am pretty surprised that Cam Newton will be back there next year. He was not very good for the Patriots this past season. Maybe go try to find another option. We've even talked about, you know, Marcus ending up there in New England.
I think I might take a flyer on Marcus over Cam.
Before Cam? Yeah.
I might.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
And you are a Marcus hater.
I am a Marcus hater. Great person.
That says something. Yeah. Always got to qualify.
Always got to qualify. Great person.
Really nice guy. I might do it, though. I know that there are other limitations. It wasn't all on him, but he just looks like a guy. And Marcus does, too. Injuries have just taken him to the downside of his career. What's so funny?
Heidi on our text line says, don't outlaw the food fighters, Heupel. What if there's any food fighters being played at Tennessee practice?
That would be, by the way, and it is Foo Fighters, Heidi. But you're the best. But that's great music for practice, right? Foo Fighters. That's awesome.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trevor texts and says, who vetted Joe for this job? The hate for country music in the Music City is amazing. LOL.
Hey, listen. I've been to country concerts. I'll go to more. I'll watch country music live all the time. There's a time and a place for certain kinds of music. And being out on any kind of athletic thing is not a time for country music. Now, for me, no time is a time for country music. But, you know, hey, I saw an incredible blues band here in 1996 in spring break. I did.
In 96?
In 1996.
Do you remember what the blues band was called?
I don't, but they were, and seriously, it was
they're so incredible.
At 3rd and, no, but it was at 3rd and Lindsley.
Okay.
And So my buddy and I, his brother worked here as a chef. We went to see, you know, just went to Third Lindsley, this band. But they were Steve Miller's traveling band.
Okay.
So they're the band that traveled on the road with Steve Miller.
It's pretty good.
But they were, at without him, they were a blues band. It was okay. Some of the best music I've ever seen. Music City. Doesn't have to be country.
My goal,
kinds of music in this city.
My goal.
We loved it all. Okay?
Before I die is
Jack
to take
White lives here.
Joe Rex Road to a Luke Combs or Eric Church concert with me.
That'd be great.
Oh, I'd go. I'd probably have a great time. And I would hope that you and Eric could lock eyes at some point.
Maybe
do we need
you could
to tweet that photo back out?
Maybe you could snap a photo as good as Robbie's.
I don't know.
That was a
pretty
good
high
photo.
Bar.
It's a high bar.
That
bar.
That was an artistic photo.
What do you think of Cam Newton to the Patriots? Steve on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, wants to know if we think this can work. I don't know. Like, I get
just saw
the allure of Cam Newton. He's a former NFL MVP. He's still, I mean, you look at him, he's not that old. What is he, 31? He's 31 years old. So it's not like, I mean, Ryan Tannehill's older than Cam Newton. But the guy, I mean, the injuries seem like they've caught up to him. He's just not the same player. And, you know, running the ball is one thing. Like, his accuracy with the ball has never been great. But, I mean, 8 touchdowns last year, 10 interceptions. Some of the decisions he made last year, too, were just brutal. And, I get it. Like, that Patriots offense, he's got nobody. Like, nobody to throw the ball to, with the exception of every now and then Julian Edelman. But it's not great right now. But I just don't see how this is going to work.
Yeah, how old is Mariota right now? Is he 27, 28 now?
Somewhere around there. I can look up
maybe 28. I mean, he's not 30. And he looks
27.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing to me for him. Look at him. Look at Marcus Mariota playing in 2018 and 19 versus Marcus Mariota playing in 2016. Vastly different.
Yeah. It is.
And Tannehill's performance kind of hammers that home.
It makes me wonder what in the world Belichick is doing. Because obviously, like, they're not going into, like, this gigantic rebuild. And maybe they end up drafting a quarterback. Who knows? Like, there's a lot of mock drafts that have Mac Jones ending up in New England. Maybe that happens. I don't know. But I look at, and especially, like, when you have Brady winning a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, all these Patriots fans are like, okay, well, what's Belichick going to do in response? And then you bring back Cam Newton. And I will say, some of the replies on this story coming out from the Boston Globe for Patriots fans, they're not friendly to bringing Cam Newton back.
Belichick's real. He's like, I can't stand Tom Brady. We're going to go get our own. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
It's a little bit longer. He's playing the long game.
Wonder how long he's going to be there to play it. I'm not saying his job's in jeopardy. I'm just saying, like, he's getting up there a little bit. Didn't have forever to rebuild.
You don't want too many years like last year in a row.
No. Certainly don't. So we'll see how that works out for the New England Patriots with Cam Newton back in the fold. When we come back, we will get into the Titans, Derrick Henry, and the conversation on what happens now after a 2,000-yard season, the history of running backs hitting 2,000 yards, and their production the next season is not great. Can Derrick Henry overcome that moving into next year? We'll talk about that coming up next. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, and you can add a little of excitement to watching sports all throughout the country, whether it's the NCAA basketball tournament, football season when it comes back, hockey going on, the NBA as well right now. You can bet on all of it on FanDuel Sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, fun bet types like the same game parlay, exclusive always on promotions such as enhanced odds boost on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every single game. And if you win, they get you your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. They've got fast withdrawals. They've got the opportunity to win big on FanDuel. A range of betting options like player props and futures. Whatever bet you're looking for, FanDuel has it. So right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place your first bet on anything, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Any bet you want, from the NBA to college basketball, tennis, golf, you name it, they've got it. And if you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. If you've never tried FanDuel before, what are you waiting on? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started, and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
That'll get after Alabama. Watch
the
out, Crimson Tide.
Vocal tones of Brooks and Dunn there. Great stuff, Ryan Porth. Love that song.
I just had to play more country music for Joe.
You're going to do it every intro, aren't you?
I hope so. I'm a big time country music fan. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin in Nashville texts in and says, didn't College Game Day use a country song from Big and Rich to hype the show?
There's an awesome band. Yeah. You a Big and Rich fan?
No. No offense. Not my cup.
I don't mind them.
Some offense. Yeah, and I remember
Save
that.
A horse ride
I always thought it was weird. Didn't get me.
More shade.
I'm muted.
The College Game Day song was coming to your city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get you hyped up?
Yes, it does. On a Saturday morning for college football. Right.
I mute that
I just
part.
Wondered.
I mute it until Lee Corso starts talking.
All right. I like it. So getting into the Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry, obviously, a great season last year, over 2,000 yards. Once again, a dominant player in the NFL, the AFC Offensive Player of the Year. Everything going well for Derrick Henry. But there has been a trend with recent running backs who have hit the 2,000-yard mark and obviously have had a severe drop-off the next season. You think back to Jamal Lewis, who ran for 2,066 yards in 2003. The next year, only 12 games and just over 1,000 yards as 1,006 yards. Adrian Peterson ran for 2,097 in 2012. The next year had 1,266, so a pretty steep drop-off there as well. And then here locally, Chris Johnson runs for 2,006 yards in 2009, has 1,364 the next season. So still a good season for Chris Johnson the next year, but not near the 2,000-yard mark. So as you look at Derrick Henry, 1,500 yards a couple of years ago, over 2,000 yards this last season, and then you toss on an additional game in the NFL schedule, what should the expectations be for Derrick Henry? Are you at all concerned that maybe the workload has been too much for him in the last couple of years, and maybe that affects him this next season if you're the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always think about that stuff, and I think that a lesser workload would make sense. You know, I think Darrington Evans needs a great offseason, a healthy offseason. You don't draft that guy in the third round just to be, you know, just some run-of-the-mill third down back.
Right.
I think you draft him because you think that he can be a change of pace, a guy who certainly is a big part of the passing game, but also a guy who can give you some series in relief of Derrick Henry, a different look. So that needs to come through. And if that does come through, then I think you will see fewer carries for Derrick Henry. And the expectation is, look, if he stays healthy and he plays the same, it may be 1,500 yards, but that's still exactly what you need from him in terms of he's going to be the focal point of your offense. He's going to set up the play action. He's going to be a home run hitter, one of the best weapons in the league. Health is the key. But to me, I would be thinking about giving him less work for sure.
I would be thinking about it as well, and I think the Titans will do that if Darrington Evans works out and he's able to be a bigger part of the offense this next year, and mainly if he's able to stay healthy. I mean, that was the problem with Darrington Evans this past year. He was not able to stay on the field as often as the Titans would have liked him to stay on the field. I'm not overly concerned about Derrick Henry. I'm really not. Like, based on what I've seen at this point, the guy just – he feels like he's different to me. Like, he just does. He feels like he is built differently. I mean, obviously, like, I guess Adrian Peterson and his build is pretty close, but, you know, with the combination of size and speed that he's got, like, Jamal Lewis – is a big guy. He's not Derrick Henry big, but he was a big guy. Chris Johnson, obviously not very big at all. Like, Derrick Henry to me, and we've had a couple people on here that have talked about it. I mean, Jeff Saturday talked about it as well. Like, it doesn't feel like when Derrick Henry is getting hit that he's getting punished. A lot of times it feels like he's the one doing the punishing. And I think there is a difference there. And there's enough body of work at this point of him getting stronger as games go on, as seasons go on, for me to not be all that worried about Derrick Henry. Now, there's your risk that comes with just playing football, that you're one hit away from being injured, and that could happen to anybody, Derrick Henry included. But just based on what I've seen out of him the last couple of years, I'm not saying he's going to run for 2,000 yards again next year, but do I expect Derrick Henry to be somewhere in that 1,400 to 1,600-yard range? Probably so. Like my expectations for Derrick Henry are still pretty high next year, and I don't think we're going to see much of a drop-off at all based on him being 27 years old. I just don't.
I think Derrick Henry could have had bigger numbers and been, you know, more of a, you know, had a longer history of producing bigger, or even just produced bigger, but not gotten the contract he did had he had any indication at all of not being durable or, you know, of being healthy all the time. I mean, his durability was, I think, was as attractive as anything, you know, when the Titans looked at making that deal. Obviously, he's a good running back, but sure. I mean, like, his durability is extraordinary, I would say. You know, you never know when some kind of serious, just nasty injury could happen on the football field. But I agree. I don't know if it's that he's doling out punishment more than he takes it, or if he's just built that way. When you know, there are obvious comparisons with Eddie George, and I always found it interesting. You think back to football 20 years ago. Think back to practices 20 years ago. Way more hitting.
Yeah.
Way more hitting. Think back to the protection of players from hits to the head and things like that. Almost non-existent. And some backs, like Eddie George, you know, he had, what, 8 really strong years in this league, for example. And there are other examples like that. Yes, there are a lot of guys, too, who flame out in 2 or 3 years. But at this point, I mean, Derrick Henry is not one of those guys. And I don't know if he's going to be one of these, like a freakish thing like Adrian Peterson. That's just what he's been able to do really is astounding. Yeah. But I feel like this contract's going to look good when it's over.
Well, I think it is, too. And the reason that I bring this up is because, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. There is a pretty dramatic drop-off from running backs that hit 2,000 yards to their next season. Some of that is injury. Like Jamal Lewis, he really couldn't stay healthy the year after. I mean, 12 carries, and he talked about it, I think, a couple of months ago with Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, about how, you know, the workload that he had the year before, he never recovered from it. Like, that was something that was with him all that next season. Obviously, that's been a problem for running backs in the past. I just don't see that being a problem with Derrick Henry. Like, he seems to me like he's just built differently, and he's a guy that, at least for the next couple of years, I've got full confidence that he's still going to be a very, very good player in this league.
Yeah, I don't see it being a problem, but I think this is, it's kind of like, hey, when you move on from a player 1 year early versus 1 year late, get out in front of this. And I think if you're the Titans, Mike Vrabel, there may not be a, okay, here's the pitch count, and he's going to be at 300, and that's it.
Right.
But I think you have to go ahead and try to head this off and split it up a little bit. Last year, I think some of the work he got late was they needed most of it, because they're in these games where, like, their defense is just making it so Derrick Henry has to play the whole game. But I mean, some of that work, maybe a little bit tied to the chase for 2,000, and you know, you've done that now. You can have a 1,200-yard season and be a big part of a winning team, and that's fine too. So I think it's got to be a little bit more intentional on the Titans' part now to keep an eye on his work.
My bigger concern regarding Derrick Henry next year is, what is the offense around him going to look like? Like, what if you lose Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, is that going to look like? How does Todd Downing factor into all this as well? Is John Robinson done making some cuts and making some moves? Does the offensive line remain intact? Like, those are questions still yet to be answered, but I'm way more concerned about that part of this than I am Derrick Henry's durability, or all of a sudden him just falling off because he's becoming lesser of a player due to the workload.
Yeah, and I think a big part of trying to keep it all together is trying to keep it all together up front. I mean, that offensive line was awfully good last year, even after losing – it's Pro Bowler at left tackle, awfully good in the run game. So at least if you have that intact, which isn't easy to do because you still have to find more money. But if you can keep that together, he's got to feel good about it.
Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. It could be with free agency, with the Titans, with the Nashville Predators, the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament. Everything on the table for you on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Anywhere you want to take it is open on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how did we do last week in our called shots? Probably not well.
Most importantly, how did Jeffrey do?
Yeah,
how did
Jeffrey do last week?
I mean, I actually am ready. It's on my screen. Yeah, Jeffrey, he's still hanging on. He's still in there. So I had Kermit Davis. Well, won't lose to Scottie Pippen. Okay, so I was right.
You were.
That they would beat them with Scottie Pippen Jr., and I got a long-term shot, which is Ekholm, Flyers, first-round pick. Morgan Frost, still waiting on that one.
Okay.
Porth Arvidsson, at least one goal.
He got that right.
No, I got that right. Do not add that.
Oh,
he got
gosh,
one goal.
You're right. Yeah. I feel like I'm always, like, trying to, like...
Just tear Porth down?
Yeah. And, like, last week on the weekend winners.
Yeah.
I was wrong, too. I'm sorry, Porth.
No, you're not.
No, he's not.
Stop playing country and I'll stop doing this. Next NHL coach to get fired, Ralph Kruger in Buffalo.
We'll see.
And Jonnu Smith transition tag. I can give you an on that one.
Yeah.
Robbie, you got Belmont winning the OVC in one game in the NCAA tournament.
Oops.
Yeah, that's tough. Rem Pitlick plays this weekend for the Predators and will score in Dallas.
Half right.
And you've got Ekholm to Boston.
So we'll see on that one. So Call Your Shot Friday recap there. So with that in mind, it's time to get rolling on this week's edition of Call Your Shot Friday. And I believe Ryan Porth is prepared for this, probably way over prepared for this. But without further ado, Ryan Porth, we turn Call Your Shot Friday over to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, let's start with college basketball. For this weekend, I'm going to call three conference tournaments.
Okay.
Winners. All right. Illinois is going to win the Big Ten tournament.
Okay.
Arkansas is going to win the SEC tournament.
Okay.
And in my upset special, North Carolina is going to win the ACC tournament.
Oh, all right. I like that.
So three conference tournament winners this weekend. Looking ahead to NFL free agency, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and Jayon Brown all sign elsewhere. None of them are coming back.
Okay.
Called shot.
I like it.
And then the Titans in free agency, their pass rush signing will be Carl Lawson, and their receiver signing will be Rashard Higgins.
Ooh. So you loved you some Rashard Higgins yesterday.
I love Marvin Jones, but I really like Rashard Higgins.
Is that because of what he did against the Titans?
Has nothing to do with that.
Okay, I'm just asking the question.
And then my last shot is that the Predators will score five goals over the course of two games against Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Go score five goals.
Go score five goals.
That's the plan.
They'll score five goals combined in the two games against Tampa Bay.
I like that. All righty.
That's not bad.
Called shots there from Ryan Porth. Not as many as I expected, but still pretty good. Way to go, Porth. Joe Rexroad, your called shots for this week are what?
I always feel inadequate, you know? I have a couple, and then Porth. And I'll say
he kind of takes it to a different level.
I could switch here because we have a same called shot. Well, no, should I? Should I switch my called shot?
No, you just go do whatever you feel is necessary.
Arkansas winning the SEC tournament was on mine, too. So you and I are on the...
Great minds think alike.
Yeah. Woo Pigs bandwagon there. I like them. And... I got Ole Miss beating LSU tonight and sneaking into the field. The bubble is actually quite weak. You know, bid thieves, that's the big thing to watch. But I think they get it done by beating LSU tonight. Elijah, are you – Elijah's in the studio. I always look at basketball to him. A shake or a nod there on that one? He's saying thumbs down. Okay. Couple of incredible freshmen playing against each other tonight in that game. And then I'm going to go one more. I say the Titans will keep Corey Davis. I think Corey Davis will not have the market that some anticipate out there. And I think ultimately he will come back to the Titans at about $10 million a year.
Okay. So Corey Davis remaining in the fold. Joe Rex Roach prediction here on Call Your Shot Friday. Now, they did just franchise tag Chris Godwin, and Tampa Bay did franchise tag Allen Robinson. But you're saying, even so, Corey Davis does not find the deal that he's looking for.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, those moves bump him up the total list. But I think some teams, and I understand it, are going to be a little more scared off by him and not certain based on the one good year and where he is and what's around him than some people might think, just based on the numbers. And I think that will play in the Titans' favor, and they will keep him.
All righty. My called shots for the week are this. I say LSU wins by 3 points or less today against Ole Miss. So I think it's going to be a great game, but LSU finds a way to get it done. They beat
what's
Ole Miss.
What's the spread on that game?
I have no clue, but they're going to win by 3 points or less.
The Robbie Stanley spread
is 3. Stanley spread is 3 points. So thank you. I say Alabama wins the SEC tournament. I love Arkansas, but I'm still going with the Crimson Tide to win the SEC tourney. On the Predator side of things, I will say that Jeremy Davies picks up his first NHL point on Saturday against Tampa Bay. So it could be a goal, could be an assist, but I think Jeremy Davies finds his way onto the score sheet on Saturday against Tampa. And my final called shot is this. By this time next week, the Nashville Predators will have made a trade. I don't know exactly who it's going to be. I'm just saying by this time next week, there will have been at least one trade that's been made by David Poyle and the Nashville Predators.
Very interesting.
So we'll see.
I think you could be right.
We'll see what ends up happening on that front. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and get your called shots for the week. Got a texter that says, the Titans lose Jonnu Smith to Indianapolis, and Corey Davis signs with the New England Patriots. That would be a tough pill for Titans fans to swallow if Corey Davis ends up in New England, and more specifically, if Jonnu Smith ends up with the Colts.
Ooh, especially Jonnu to the Colts. Ooh, that's a toughie. Cam to Corey, huh?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith to the Colts is one of those nightmare scenarios that would – you felt good when Stafford didn't go there, but, boy, that'd be a tough one.
I mean, I guess at least at that point, if you're a Titans fan, you wouldn't be having your heart ripped apart by Jack Doyle anymore. It would just be Jonnu Smith.
You're just getting run over by Jonnu Smith.
Yes. Yeah. Probably a little bit worse.
You get to watch your players try to tackle him.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville texts in and says, the bold predictions this week are this. The Vols lose in the SEC final to Arkansas. The Vols make a Sweet 16 run. Clowney will sign a one-year deal with the Titans, bring back the King. Jonnu to the Cards. Davis to the Washington football team. And Jalen coming back. I think it means Jayon here coming back. So Jayon coming back to the Titans. Aaron Jones will not be back with the Packers. So a lot to unpack there from Mark in Clarksville, but saying Clowney coming back to the Titans on a one-year deal.
I feel like Mark tries to outdo Porth.
I like it.
Quantity and quality. That Jayon one isn't happening, but some interesting ones in there.
Well, if they're not bringing back Davis and they're not bringing back Jonnu Smith, maybe they do bring back Jayon Brown. Did you see the contract that Matt Milano got yesterday?
Yeah.
Probably not good news for the Titans bringing back Jayon Brown. We'll see. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, called shot, the Titans don't sign any of the top 30 free agents that are available.
Who's ranking them?
I don't know.
Top 30 according to who?
Maybe Ben. I don't know.
Right. Well, Ben, we need to see your list then. You know? I'm not going by Pro Football Focus.
Well, you know, they don't count. We got to figure out which list we're judging people by here. Let's go back to the text line. Matt from Camden texts in and says, Tennessee wins the SEC tournament and gets back on track before the NCAA tournament. The Titans also will re-sign Jayon Brown and Corey Davis. Jonnu Smith will be the one that's gone. So Matt saying both Jayon Brown and Corey Davis return for the Titans. Tennessee wins the SEC tournament. That would be their first SEC tournament win since, what, 1979?
79. Talking bell bottoms. That's a very optimistic take. And you know what? That would be huge for Tennessee. I also wonder what that would mean for Tennessee's seeding.
Yeah.
And I think right now, you know, I'll tell you what. I would not hate being where they are right now, which is around a 6.
Yeah.
If you get up to the 4 or 5, you have to play the 1 earlier. But you know what? If you get to the Sweet 16, you're happy.
You've still got to win today to hang around a 6, though, right? Like, you can't lose today.
I would think so. I would think if you lose today, you're probably drifting toward the 7, yeah, maybe even 8. You don't want to be in that 8-9 range. I don't think they will. They you know, they have a good profile. But, yeah, maybe 7.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sean texts in and says, Mykhail Granlund traded to Toronto next week.
Everybody's going to Toronto.
And Corey Davis signs not with the Titans, but he'll sign for $9 million. So Sean predicting it's $9 million for Corey Davis, but it's not with the Titans. I think if it's that low,
yeah, it'll be with the
Titans. It'll probably be with the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
He really wants to get out of here if he's signing somewhere for $9 million.
Maybe he wants to be the number one guy.
I think the Titans would. Someone's paying him $9 million to be the number one guy?
I don't know.
In the CFL?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think the Titans will, if that's the number, they'll jump all over that.
We'll continue to take your called shots all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 1025, The Gig.